Hey guys, before we jump in, I want to invite you to follow me on socials. You can follow me on Twitter at WhatIWillSayPod, on Instagram at WhatIWillSay, also on TikTok at WhatIWillSay, and of course, WhatIWillSay.tumblr.com will take you to my blog where you can keep up with my day-to-day pop culture takes. If you want to support the show, you can do so on Patreon. Just search WhatIWillSay to access hours upon hours of bonus content, our secret community Discord, and so much more. Or if the Patreon's not for you, you can give us a 5-star rating and a good review, or even just tell a friend about the show. All of those things help us out a lot. Thanks guys, enjoy the show.
I feel like we should start as a group instead of saying KK, like say, okay, like KK, we should just be like Carly Kloss.
Yeah, I agree.
I think we should start doing that. Yeah. Welcome back to Clownery in Wonderland, everyone. It's your inside source for all things. I don't even know what to say anymore. Stupid. Lesbian. Gay. Gossip. I'm here with Kara again.
Hello.
I think we're going to do an episode. This just kind of came to me. We're going to do an episode where we talk about weird, unconfirmed, completely just fandom, almost fandom headcanon rumors involving SwiftCron and maybe like Diana and Taylor a little bit.
Some things have a little bit more backing than others. Some are like possibly true. Some are just like probably definitely not true.
And again, but we have no way of knowing. So we're just here to have fun with it. But This, if you're kind of new to Galer or SwiftCron, you know, some of this will be news to you. So I guess buckle up because some of it has happened like off the SwiftCron timeline, like beyond. Well, okay. First, let's do our disclaimer. Guys, this is a comedy podcast. This is not that serious. This is not that deep. This is hyperbole. If you can tell, I've been on Twitter again. People are taking it too seriously.
People on Twitter take everything seriously.
People send tweets to me and stuff. And a lot are really nice. And if they're nice, I'll go like them and be like, hey, yeah. Like somebody was like, Clownery in Wonderland's so good. Somebody needs to make a Kaler version. And I was like, we'll do some Kaler episodes, maybe. So like, that's really nice. But somebody in the Discord sent me one today that was just like, the Clownery, like, thinks she's so important. She thinks Diana listens to the podcast. And it's like, where?
Oh, we're joking. Come on.
Guys, come on now. Of course, like, the person who sent it to me, like, didn't even know if they were talking about me because she was like, surely they're not talking about you. Like, everything you say is sarcastic and a joke.
It makes me wonder, like, do people just either don't understand sarcasm in jokes, even though we say it like 10 times within the episode, or are they like choosing to look past that and pretend it's real so they can get mad? Like, I can't decide which it is.
I don't know. I kind of welcome it. I guess either way, like news for the podcast, guys, we hit a month yesterday of podcast life. It's been up for a month and we have had like 3,700 downloads. So that's pretty good. That's actually in the top, I think, for Buzzsprout. That's who I put the podcast out through. It's in the top 5% of downloads or streams or something. Downloads, I think. So that's good. So, I mean, that means like surely not everybody who listens to it likes it, but I still get the stream. So if y'all want to listen, that's great. You know, hate tweet, tell your friends that you hate it, tell them to listen to it and hate it. We're here for it. But again, this is a joke. This is hyperbole. This is gossip. This is rumor. It's not that serious.
Don't believe everything you read on the internet.
Do you believe everything you hear on this podcast is my question?
Definitely don't.
Yeah. So there's our 40-minute long disclaimer. It's a comedy podcast. Unless Sean comes on, then we'll probably, you know, we tone it down and we take it seriously. And talk about real issues and real things. Sean is, I think, going to be on soon. Just so you guys know, we're planning episode 3 with Sean. So send in your questions to the blog or DM me on Twitter or DM me on Discord. But yeah. Also, trigger warning. I think we're going to talk about Naya. So if you don't want to hear about Naya, if that's not what you're looking to hear about right now, maybe this episode is not for you. So the first thing I think we should talk about is the inside source at Glee tweet. And Does that mean that Diana cheated on Taylor with Naya, supposedly? That is what the fandom kind of thinks it means. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's what I think it means, but I feel like we should jump into it. What's your first thought?
So I have a little bit of a different perspective on it than you, because when those rumors and stuff were going around, I was actually in the Glee fandom. I was a little... but I was there for it, like as things were happening live. So I do think my perspective is a little different than yours. I have to say, most of the Glee fandom at that time did not ship Naya and Diana at all. It was very, very heavy. A shell was like the big ship. I didn't know anything about that. And then there was also Heya, which is Heather Morris and Naya Rivera. And most of the fandom shipped them so much that they didn't really care about anything that could potentially be happening between Diana and Naya unless it affected their ships, you know? So that's kind of how it was. But I do remember some of the big things that happened. I don't really think there's any proof to back up the Rivergrun theories. However, there are quite a few interesting things I think that happened that are worth talking about, because there is a possibility that something did happen between them.
Yeah. So I'm glad that you were like a gleek back in the day when you were a kid, and you can kind of share in on the Glee mm-hmm. fandom headcanon, because I know none of it. Just so y'all know, if y'all don't know what we're referencing, we're talking about on February 14th, 2013, when Taylor tweeted, "So I have an inside source at Glee who was all, watch tonight, we're doing your song. I hope the source was right, smiley face." Later, the Glee episode I Do aired. There was no Taylor song. However, Quinn, who's Diana's character, hooked up with Naya's character, Santana, at a wedding. Taylor later deletes the tweet, and she replaces it one with a tweet saying that her dancers are her Valentines for that year. So everybody takes this to mean Diana tricked Taylor into watching her hook up with maybe someone she cheated on her with in real life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where you get later the inspiration for the song Babe, which is all about cheating, and some other sort of references, like in the song Style, she says, "You've been out and about with those other girls, with them other girls.
With some other girl.
With some other girl."
Yeah.
There you go. I'm a fake fan. I don't even know. So let's kind of go through, let's hear your take on, is this true or not? And what do you think backs it up or doesn't?
Okay. So I think one thing I have to start off by saying is that the whole inside source at Glee tweet, I think is honestly like 50% of what a lot of people use to be like, Diana was toxic, which, you know, nobody knows that. Nobody knows anything. So I think what's interesting is that we don't actually know if she's the one who said that. And I kind of think that it wasn't her that told Taylor. I mean, maybe it was. There's a good chance it was, but there's also a good chance that it was someone else, because it could have honestly been Ryan Murphy. I mean, he doesn't like Taylor from what we know. I mean, maybe now he does. He followed her on Twitter, I think it was.
Instagram,
sorry. And he was only following like 13 people.
She was the 13th, which is right. Why I think they have something sort of spooky coming, something's going on with them.
Yeah, which definitely could be the case.
I think her music is going to be featured on his new Netflix movie, The Prom.
I think so too. I think it's something like that. Mm-hmm. But I'm pretty sure, and you might know this better than I do, there was something between Ryan and Taylor where they didn't like each other.
Yeah, so Ryan, I have a master post on this. If you search like Ryan Murphy is such a little on the blogs before I get married. Ryan seemed to have some real beef with Taylor. So her songs got used twice in Glee, right? In season two, mm-hmm. and then they use Mean in the domestic abuse episode. Guys, nobody watch Glee, please. And then also in season four for the Britannia breakup, which they use right. Mine, which I will say that is brilliant scene writing. That is like maybe the best scene in Glee. I love that performance and that little speech she gives where she says, I would die, like, I would, what did she say? I would die on the day that you didn't.
I'm like, I know it.
Yeah, you know it.
She said, I used to sit in, this is not exact, but it was like, I used to sit in the back of this choir room and something, I would smile. I don't know it either.
Whatever, this isn't a Glee podcast.
Yeah, it doesn't really matter.
I love that scene. So he uses her music twice. Honestly, Taylor's music really lends itself. I mean, this is sort of crack, but Taylor's music really lends itself to Glee. You have You Belong With Me, you know, you have all these sort of high school songs like early Taylor.
Right.
And it's kind of, I just think Glee did every fucking pop song there ever was. Two episodes dedicated to Britney. You had the Madonna episode. You had the Whitney episode. Of course, those are different genres and different people, but I mean, Taylor these days is certainly just as big as Britney was in her heyday. Like, they're mm-hmm. different, but you know, Britney stands, don't come after me. I love Britney too, but they're just different. But Taylor is huge. And it's kind of weird to me that they didn't use more of her music. And I've always wondered.
Say that. Yeah, that is kind of weird.
So they did not use a lot of Taylor music, and it's maybe because Ryan didn't like her. Maybe because Taylor became between Leah and Diana. I don't know about you. I believe a shell happened for sure. And I think their breakup was probably rough and Taylor, you know, was a part of it. But we have beef between Ryan and Taylor in like circa 2015 in the first season of Scream Queens, which I love that show. But Ryan like drags Taylor. There is a really offensive character. So maybe I don't love the show, but there's a really offensive character called Deaf Taylor Swift, who is like a supposedly a deaf character, and she loves Taylor Swift. And she's obviously there to be like the butt of a joke, which is not great. It's not great. Also, they do an entire like bit where he has Emma Roberts' character make fun of Swiftmas, where Taylor gives out gifts to her fans at Christmas. And they do this Chanel-a-ween. Her character's name is Chanel, and they do Chanel-a-ween. And they like shot for shot are making fun of all the social media videos of people like meeting Taylor and getting gifts from her. And it's like, but it's at Halloween, and it's a huge drag. It was very, very clear. Like all the gossip magazines were like, Ryan Murphy dragging Taylor Swift. So he seemed to have some kind of problem with her. So is it possible I don't think Ryan Murphy's sitting around on a Thursday night or whenever Glee came on, like texting Taylor Swift, like, hey, we're doing your song, bitch. But
I mean, he sat his ass on Twitter all day tweeting spoilers.
Oh, you're right.
So it wouldn't be that far-fetched.
That's the other thing I know about Ryan Murphy and Taylor Swift. At one point, somebody tweeted him, was like, hey, can you tell me something happy about Britannia? And he said, Britannia, Taylor Swift, mine. So he was, first of all, he was like trolling that Britannia shipper because he was like telling them they were going to break up. It sounded like they were going to sing Mine to each other and be happy.
Oh, I remember it.
Yeah, you know. So, I mean, Ryan, come on the pod and tell us why you hate lesbians, but and bisexual people and everyone.
And trans people, just pretty much the whole LGBT community except for, you know, the gay men. So.
Yeah, gay men. I mean, yeah, Ryan, come on the pod and explain yourself. And just for anyone listening, that was a joke. I don't think Ryan actually listens to the podcast. Yeah, so the times you have like Ryan talking about Taylor, there's a little bit in reference to Glee, but I think it's odd they didn't do more Taylor songs. Taylor seems, her music seems to lend itself to Glee, and then you have him dragging her on Scream Queens. Now in the year of 2020, the year of Swiftcron Nation rising, you have Ryan making Taylor the 13th person he follows on Instagram. So who knows what that means? Mm-hmm. Ryan did seem to have a problem with Taylor. I don't know that he was like
didn't like Diana.
And well, we know he hated Diana. I mean, hate, I don't know, but he did not. He had problems with her. Ryan's beef with Diana definitely stems back to, like, he said in an article that she ruined Quinn for him because she made her sympathetic.
Mm-hmm.
And he also had a character named Bryn on The New Normal who was like a bitchy actress that was like, I don't think my character would do this. And then he killed her by getting her into a car wreck, right?
Oh, did he? I haven't actually seen it, but I've heard about that.
Spoilers for all these shows, by the way. Sorry about that, guys.
I don't watch Ryan Murphy shows anyway.
Yeah, don't watch. Well, I mean, I watch American Horror Story. I can't lie about it.
No, but I mean, I hear it's good.
Some of it's good. So Ryan definitely seems to have some kind of problem with Taylor. You're kind of saying you think it was Ryan.
Yeah, I kind of think it was Ryan, or it could have been someone else. I mean, I'm pretty sure that the majority of the Glee cast knew Taylor well enough that if they wanted to, like, fuck with her, they could have reached out to her and said something like that, and she would have believed it. I think there's a possibility it was Diana, but I tend to think more so that it would have been Ryan or someone else who was just trying to like start shit or just like mess with her.
What would your motive be if it was Ryan?
Well, he hates both of them or dislikes both of them, and he probably knew enough about their relationships or whatever was going on that he would have been like, let me just embarrass Taylor Swift, you know, like, why not? That's just the kind of person he was back then. I mean, I don't know how he is now, but back then that was pretty in character for him to do something like that, in my opinion.
I mess around with the idea that it's Ryan. I kind of tend to agree with you that it could have been. And if it was, then I think maybe he might have had the motive of like, I'm just going to fuck with Taylor Swift because I can.
Exactly. That's kind of what I think.
But it also could have been that he wanted to break them up.
Maybe.
Because we know he wanted Diana in that closet, right? Like,
the only thing is at that point in time, she was barely on the show anymore, so I don't think he would have been that invested in breaking them up if they were together.
Good point. I kind of forgot about that.
I think it was more just to fuck with them or like a power trip, like you said, or just, you know, just to be an asshole, because he kind of just is an asshole and he doesn't like either of them. And that's pretty common knowledge. I mean, he didn't at the time. I don't know how things are now. Like I'm saying, like, this was 6-7 years ago.
Good point. You're right. I kind of forgot that Diana was pretty much done with Glee at this point. Mm-hmm. This was after season 3, so she's only on 8 episodes after season 3, which is bizarre, right? I mean, that's just crazy.
Oh, yeah.
But
she's the only one that dropped off that much, I think, after the graduation. I also think there's a possibility it could have been an honest mistake on someone's part.
Yeah.
Like, that's always an option, too, that it had nothing to do with anything malicious, and it was really just someone giving her the wrong information or something.
Yeah, I think, I do too. Like, I think, who's told, I mean, I feel like we've kind of heard from all the people who are really big in the Glee fandom that Glee was always getting fucked around with, lines were getting cut, scenes were getting edited, like, down to the last day. Like, there could have been a whole ass Taylor Swift song in that episode, and it just got cut at the last minute.
Right.
I think there's three options, right? It could be Diana, it could be a nefarious party, Ryan, maybe Leah, or it could be a simple misunderstanding.
Right. Those are the only three options, really, I think. I mean, yeah. I can't think of what else could have happened.
Well, that encompasses a lot, right?
Yeah,
Diana right. being a troll, a nefarious party, or a misunderstanding seems to cover it.
Yeah.
I'm kind of like, you know me, I can discuss either or. So I think there's things to support that it might have been somebody being sort of nefarious. So we've already talked about Ryan and his distaste for Taylor. I think there's a chance it could be Leah. Leah and Taylor had some sort of public issue. I think in 2015, 2016, Leah and Taylor Lautner are doing an interview for Scream Queens season 2. And she brings up Taylor Swift like out of nowhere. And she's kind of like, oh, you dated her, right? And she's kind of snappy about it. And then he's like, yeah, I did, which, okay, sure. And then she's like, yeah, she wrote a song about you, right? And he's like, yep, it's called Back to December. And okay, sure. And all these articles came out of like, is Lea Michele the next person to diss Taylor Swift? Because I think the Kimye like canceling had already happened. The Taylor Swift is over party had already happened. And so it really seemed like a dog pile. Then weirdly, a year later, she and Emma Roberts are like talking about reading the red liner notes, which of course the red liner notes are essays on love about Diana. So it's really strange. And then Taylor sends Leah a bouquet of flowers or like a basket of flowers or a floral arrangement. And Leah like posts it to Snapchat or Instagram or something. It's like, thanks Taylor. Like they have like this public makeup party. So
weird.
It's just really odd. But Leah seemed to have a problem with Taylor too. And of course, if Diana chose Taylor over Leah, or if it was just sort of like, that's my ex's ex, or that's my ex's new girl. Like, you know.
There's always a little weird bad blood, so to speak.
A little bad blood.
Yeah, just a little bit.
So I think like Ryan or Leah or some other like kind of nefarious party, that could be it. I think, I mean, I'm going to sit here and make an argument for maybe it was Diana.
Mm-hmm.
I actually do not think it was her. That seems so out of character.
I don't either.
It seems so out of character. She's like famous for being sweet to people. Like all sorts of like, that girl who was an extra on Glee basically was like, yeah, Diana always remembered my name, even though I was gone for like a year or months and came back. She's just famous for being sweet to people. And I'm sure like things got crazy between her and Taylor, but I just don't think she would try to publicly humiliate her.
It could have been for fun. Like, she would have thought it was funny. Like, if her and I had never even hooked up, maybe she was just like, oh, watch tonight. And then it's like, wink, wink, Quinn's kind of gay. Like, you know, it could have just been for fun.
I actually haven't even thought about that. Like, we know that with the like the joke that Taylor left on Diana's door about being like a little kitten and needing to nurse or whatever. Like, I feel like they had some like kind of naughty comedy between them. Like, so maybe they were always joking about like, oh, Diana and Naya Rivergron, like people want, you know, and maybe Diana just thought it was funny. Like, haha, like I'm going to quote unquote hook up with Naya. Like I'm going to get Taylor to watch. And Taylor just tweeted it accidentally. Like,
exactly. She probably didn't know Taylor was going to tweet it either. So like whoever told her probably wasn't expecting her to tweet it. Like
that definitely seems like their dynamic. Like, God damn it. Like, I feel like Diana would just be like, God damn it, Taylor. Like,
right.
So maybe, you know, it was just a joke gone wrong. Like, so that would kind of fall in the misunderstanding camp. It's possible that Diana, even though it seems really out of character, it's possible that she was like mad at Taylor. They were having a fight and she's trying to like embarrass her. Oh, what I was gonna say is the girls on Taydar sort of posited that maybe she wasn't even like trying to do anything that bad. Like maybe she wanted to sort of out them, which I guess would be bad. But I think if you're in the relationship, like
if you, yeah, it's hard to say the kind of,
I don't know, like that you're going through, frustrated and like trying to be sneaky about it. That's a really weird roundabout.
Yeah. I don't think that's really like, that'd be a
like,
weird
just
way
to take her phone, like just steal your girlfriend's phone and be like, I'm gay guys. And like, run yeah, off, right. Like, I feel like that probably happened with the Glee cast. I think they were tweeting from each other's phones.
Oh yeah, they were. Time.
Like when they were always like, my phone got hacked. It was not by hackers. It was by they like
each other.
Yeah, it was just like, you know, Cord would probably steal Diana's phone. So I don't think she's trying to out them, though. That's what some people kind of think, and I can kind of understand it because Diana's always trying to out herself in that time period of her life. Shirtgate and I've Kissed Girls It's Fun and all that. There are some things that kind of are like, okay, I can see where people who are saying she hooked up with Naya and that's where people are getting this kind of from.
Should we go into like the rumor that her and Naya hooked up?
Oh yeah. I've got the Glee cast letting loose the Emmys.
Hold yeah.
So there's not a lot. There's like not much substantial. You could make a Rivergrund master post, you know what I mean? But there is an article that came from Us Weekly, I think. Is it US Weekly or is it Us Weekly?
I honestly don't know.
All right. I call it Us Weekly. And it says, the Glee cast letting loose at the Emmys. Hollywood is still recovering from last Sunday's 2011 Emmys in Los Angeles. Not to mention the slew of after parties that took place. And while the cameras may have captured every star's acceptance speech, they missed the juicy behind-the-scenes action that took place. Luckily, Us Weekly captured several celebrities letting loose when the cameras were off. And the first thing they say is, 9:46 p.m., Diana Agron and Naya Rivera kiss as their Glee castmates cheer them on at the Governor's Ball. So, at the very least, I'm pretty sure they've kissed.
Right.
So we have Rivergrund kiss confirmation.
It's interesting because I'm just thinking, because you believe that a shell happened, right?
Yes.
And I don't really know what I think about that. I mean,
I know. I know you don't.
Was that the same Emmys that has the like interview of?
No. So this actually kind of works with the timeline. This is actually part of the Swiftgrund timeline. This is in fall of 2011, I think, end of September, third week of September. You have this public article about Naya and Diana kissing. Of course, we have Swiftgrund meeting in public for the first time, September 4th, 2011. This is 3 weeks later. People actually think that Taylor's on the Speak Now tour and that she had happy arm lyrics. She would write lyrics on her arms of different songs every night, just like as part of the show. She would have lyrics written on her arms.
Like she's some 16-year-old. What a loser.
I know. She's such a fucking dork. Like
they both are. So it's easy
really to both them. Are. That's why they should get married. So she's got these arm lyrics, and people think the arm lyrics got happy after she met Diana in public. And then after this article about Naya and Diana kissing come out, the arm lyrics get sad. I do not see it. They're random arm lyrics. I do not see it. They are random arm lyrics. And a lot of them have to do with like when she was in Detroit, she had lyrics from Lose Yourself because that's where Eminem's from. And that's where that movie's set. Like 8 Mile is like part of Detroit.
Right.
So like that's why it's like geographical. But if you want to analyze the arm lyrics, which people have, there's Tumblr posts on it. Go for it. I think there's a post on my blog. Search arm lyrics on Swiftgrund Get Married if you want to see the different arm lyrics. To me, I don't see it. But I can understand why people would want to look into it because that is the kind of thing Taylor would do. We'd be like, oh, my girlfriend kissed another girl. Oh, I'm mad now. I'm going to put our sad arm lyrics on, right?
Right.
But I will say, as far as Ashell goes, I think Ashell was kind of pretty much over by the end of summer 2011 after the tour. They were definitely on during the tour. We need to do an episode on Shirtgate someday. They're definitely on during the tour, but I think they ended kind of after that. So you have Naya and Diana kissing. I don't think it's that big of a deal for Ashell.
Okay.
But that the interview where Ashell's all over each other happened in 2010, I think.
Okay.
Is where Diana shows up and she's like, there was a party in the ladies' room.
I swear that was 2011 because I looked at the date on YouTube and it was like around that time.
Well, this is the Emmys. The Golden Globes, I think, happens in the winter. So like February or hang on.
Okay. No, you're right. It was the Golden Globes.
January 16th. So Ashell's still on at that point. But I do think after that summer, they're off. So we do know, I mean, Naya and Diana, of course, are very, like, we know they're very close. They were very close friends. Mm-hmm. Naya wrote some really sweet stuff about Diana, and like everybody else that Naya writes about in the Glee cast and in the book. Of course, I haven't read the book exhaustively. I kind of read about her childhood. I read like the first few chapters throughout, and then I was sort of skipping around to like the Glee stuff, and mostly kind of, I really wanted to see what she said about Diana and Leah. I was interested in that. But she spills tea on Leah. She talks like about Corey and like in memory. And then she talks a lot about Diana just as a friend.
Mm-hmm.
It's not so much a gossip dish. It's really much more of like, she talks about them going to Paris together and dressing up in wigs and going into bars and stuff.
Right.
It's just really sweet. And she calls Diana Elizabeth Taylor because she has so many male suitors. And she like makes a point to like, I think, call them her male suitors. And it's sort of like, okay, nice big no homo, Naya. Like, but they were definitely good friends. And the timeline of Swiftgron with Naya's interaction is kind of interesting. Naya's around. I think you have Swiftgron kind of gearing up in like spring of 2012, right? And I believe spring or summer, no, I think it's summer of 2012 that Diana goes to London and Paris with Naya, which they went to Paris a few times, I think, together. I think they went twice. Once while they were on the Glee tour. They snuck away for a day or something. It's interesting that she's in London with Naya because it's around the time Come Back Be Here is written. And it would be especially, I mean, that song's, I'm pretty sure, about Diana. She went to New York and London several times that spring and summer. So I guess you're in London today. I guess you're in New York today. It could be referencing anything. But if she's in London with Naya, then it's sort of even more like sad when Taylor's like, I don't want to need you this way. Like, I don't want to miss you like this. Like, if she's off with maybe another girl that she might be involved with, that's even sadder, right? And of course, you also have that summer, I Knew Your Troubles written, where you have that you never loved me or her or anyone or anything. So who's the her, right? I kind of like to think that it's Leah, but that's just headcanon. That's just...
Well, I have like a very strong feeling, which obviously I could be wrong, but I really think if Diana and Naya did hook up, there was nothing romantic there. Like, it was not any kind of relationship. It was literally just hooking up.
I mean, I agree. Although Taylor probably wouldn't care.
Oh, well, yeah, I know.
It's Taylor, right?
She never loved me, I wouldn't think, or her, I wouldn't think would be Naya. That seems...
Well, I wouldn't either, but Taylor's stupid. Like, she's too emotional. Like,
I mean, I personally don't think that song or We Are Never Getting Back Together, I don't think either of them are about a specific person. I think they're more, like I said this yesterday, that they're more fun, kind of like poking fun at the idea that she's been with all these people and kind of can apply to anyone. But there's obviously certain references that come from different relationships. It's not like 100% fictional, but I think it's more for fun.
I agree that We Are Never Ever Getting Back Together. Although Diana tweeted about that song, and you have the indie record That's Much Cooler Than Mine, that has to be about her. But it is kind of a fun, silly song that seems to be referencing multiple things, and also the media's perception of her, similar to Blank Space.
Right. Yeah,
exactly. Almost, it's like Blank Space 0.0, I think is what I said.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I will say Trouble is not like a fun song for her.
That's true.
When you watch the 1989 live version of it in particular, she is pissed. It's a very good, it's my favorite live version of any song. It's my favorite live performance of her, I think. Well, no, there's a lot. I can't really say that. It's one of my favorites.
Right.
And that song is very serious to me, the way, especially when you hear it done live with the strings and just the drama, and it's very sensual, and she's angry.
Right.
And then there's like this point where she's like, stop, go. And she's fucking cocky. Like, she is just... And like, you have her pulling out the, and she never loved me or her or anyone. She pulls out, she does not do that often, but I do think there's one performance where she really clearly says.
See, I disagree. I don't think that she's saying she.
I know. Well, I talked about it on that episode with Sean, where I was like, I can understand why people would think this. Here's why people think it, but here's why it might not be. So I know that it's.
See, there is the one where she says, and I swear I can only hear when she's doing New Year's Day, she says
her
midnights. I cannot hear your, like, I try.
No, there's no, and you, if you mute it and read her lips,
Yeah, right.
You cannot, her mouth does not purse to say you, like you have to pull your lips out, you know, you have to purse your lips to say you or your. She doesn't do it.
Like, because I knew you were in trouble. I can hear both. Like, I can hear it being she never loved me or just that she never loved me. Like, I can hear it both ways. But the New Year's Day one, she's saying, I want her midnights. I'm sorry. I cannot hear your.
And hey, I don't apologize. Don't apologize. I hear her too. That's what we're here for, right? Mm. And like Sean said, artists will do that to like let off steam. Like,
right.
They're like, they can just do it in a performance. So. You do have these sort of dramatic songs that are written that summer that seem to reference another girl. Who the other girl is, who knows? I do agree, like, I don't think Rivergrund had, like, a romance. Although, they just seem to be very soft for each other, like, as friends. But I could see there being more to it, too, but not a lot more. But you do have Diana and Naya hanging out a lot. You have the thing about them kissing at the governor's ball after the Emmys. You have Naya is at Diana's birthday, and somebody actually writes next to what Taylor writes about the cat thing. Somebody writes, like, Naya Rivera is a woman after my own heart. I think Taylor was at a Halloween party in fall of 2012. There's no pictures or anything or no report on it, but there's, like, I think there was a random picture on the Wayback Machine on Yumi and Charlie where there's a girl who looks kind of like Taylor and a girl who kind of looks like Naya. And it's definitely a picture. It's one of those Diana pictures that's sort of black and white and like mm-hmm. has like a dumb frame on it. And like, you know,
yeah, yeah.
And there's also, there's an interview that Taylor did during the Red, like during Red promo where somebody puts up a picture of them from the circus, a Diana circus party. Mm-hmm. And Taylor says, oh, there we are at Halloween. And then she looks again and says, oh, sorry, no, that's Diana's birthday. So I think they're at a Halloween party together at one point. Like, I think Taylor and Naya were around each other a lot, relatively.
I'm sure they were, yeah.
And I just think maybe there's something about that. Maybe, mm-hmm. and maybe there wasn't even cheating, but maybe there was, like, a past fling or a past hookup.
Well, I do have to say, too, that this is like something I think people used to talk about a bit was when they did go to Paris together and stuff. I think, and I could be wrong, I think it was kind of low key, like they didn't really tell anyone, but it did get out because someone said something about it. And then that's why they like ran into some fans and stuff. But she either would post on this, either was back when like she had another Instagram or it was on Yumi and Charlie. She posted a couple semi, like, I mean, I wouldn't go so far as to say they're romantic pictures of Naya, but they are a little bit getting in that direction when they were in Paris together, or maybe London, I don't really know which. And then she also had, there's also that picture where Naya's being, like, serenaded by the street singers in Paris, and Diana's the one who took the picture. So I think a lot of people talk about that, too, as being like, that's interesting. Like, I'm not saying anything happened, but it is kind of interesting.
I think I saw that picture. I think these pictures always make the rounds on Twitter. So, like, every 6 months it pops up and people start talking about it. Mm-hmm. So I think that picture just made the rounds. And I think people were saying, I bet Diana paid the singers to sing to them, to sing to her.
Right.
And, yeah. like, you know, it was sort of like a romantic gesture of some type. I've seen the pictures that she's taken of her, too. And I will say Diana just takes romantically framed pictures of women. There's a lot of Leah that are just, they were girlfriends. I'm sorry. I don't want to hear any feedback on that. But also, there's one picture I love of Taylor that Diana's rumored to have taken where they're at the beach. And Diana does, like, just her camera lens seems to just frame women in, like, a really sweet and intimate and romantic way.
I was gonna say, I think it's also important to note that Naya most likely did out herself on, what's it called, the Today Show?
The Daily Show?
The View. So, I mean, that's kind of a little bit more backing to it. It's not like Naya is just, like, this 100% straight girl. Like, she did say that, which, I mean, you could say it was just a joke. You could say it was
misinterpreted. No, I know what you're saying. I mean, the explanation. So what we're talking about is Naya was on The View, and one of The View hosts says, so there's news out that says if you're bisexual, you have more mental health problems. And Naya very clearly says, oh, that's what's wrong with me then.
Right. It's something like that, like paraphrased, right?
Yeah, paraphrase that. And so, of course, yeah, people who think she's straight would just be like, no, she's just joking. Obviously, it's just a joke. And okay, fine. Maybe it's just a joke. It's not a great joke, but...
Yeah, it's kind of weird. Also,
weird way to out yourself too. Just like,
it's so casual. I kind of love it actually.
Yeah, I know. Diana could never.
She couldn't. Oh, this is, I'm not sure if it's 100% confirmed, but I think it is. There was like something where Naya was talking about how her and Demi used to make out to like prepare Demi, for their role.
Yeah, Demi said that.
Okay, it was Demi. And I'm she like, okay, said, first like, of all,
made out in her trailer.
Yeah, I'm like, first of all, they never even made out on the show. Second of all, Demi is out as either bi or queer or something. So like, Demi's not straight. So there's that too.
Yeah, it is, there's a lot of gayness around Glee. Always. Yeah,
for sure.
So, I mean, yeah, I think Demi's out as queer, and she said that she and Naya used to make out in her trailer, and Naya seems to have outed herself on The View, and she's real, real close to Diana, who, you know, Diana has her own gay rumors, as we know about all of them. Could River Ground be real, and could that be the reason behind the inside source at Glee tweet? I think possibly. Of course, I think anything's possible.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's enough to say that no one would be surprised if Diana and Naya had hooked up with all
and
that.
And Taylor had like an issue with it.
Right.
Yeah. I think that's I would not be surprised. I would not be surprised if that was some source of conflict between Taylor and Diana because the fact that she and Naya hooked up. There's a few other things that make me think, okay, like maybe that's what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
On the Hooser Meeser blog, right around this time, that's Diana's private Tumblr. On February 14th, 2013, which by the way, if you've listened to the Hooser Meeser episode, yeah, if you listen to the Diana's secret Tumblr deep dive, Diana posts Passion Pit, Carried Away lyrics, and it's a really sad song. And I like read the lyrics on that other episode, and we kind of broke it down like, okay, maybe this is about it, but it's just a sad song. It says, I'm sorry a lot. So there's a chance maybe Diana is tumbling. Is that what people call using tumbling? Tumblr?
No, I don't think so.
Why? It should be.
I've never heard anyone say tumbling before.
That's stupid, isn't it? I shouldn't say that, should I?
I kind of love it.
You kind of love tumbling? I think yeah. Diana is tumbling. Guys, you heard it here first on Clownery in Wonderland. You heard it here first. Diana is tumbling about being sad on that day. And a song about like a sad I'm sorry song. And then a few days later, you also have her posting that thing from Charlie Brown from Peanuts, which is like about missing your girl. It says, I wish I were walking with her and we were holding hands. And it's just like sad Charlie Brown emo. And that is a few days later, February 19th. So, you know, I mean, that's not a lot, but we're going to review every bit of evidence we can find here. So I think that's kind of it, except for later you have Babe comes out. Although,
Babe is one of the only pieces of Swift Ground evidence that actually starts to convince me is the Babe music video.
You love Babe.
I do. I love Babe. And it's actually a really good song, too.
It's a great song. It's a great song.
I love the video, of course.
And you love the video because, I mean, what Kara is referencing, y'all, is I'm sure y'all know, but of course, the Babe music video, which Taylor Swift did with Sugarland in 2018, and she made sure everybody knew that the song was written back in the Red era, but it didn't make it to the album, so she gave it to Sugarland. The Babe music video is a shot-for-shot remake of the music video that Diana was in with Sam Smith, I'm Not the Only One. And
the exact same minute and second count of the video is the same, and the Babe song itself is like a minute shorter, so she extended it so that it's the exact same. I think it's either 4 minutes and 39 seconds or 3 minutes, 49 seconds, something like that. They're both the same exact length to the second. Both music
and
videos.
And what's interesting is I'm Not the Only One has a little entry. Like it has like an entry where she's talking to her husband or whatever. And Babe has like this, you hear this sprinkler sound and stuff. Like it has like different opening shots. It has establishing shots like outside the house. And it's really interesting that Taylor, like, whatever. And they also made sure they put it out in the press that Taylor came up with the concept for the music video.
Right.
So we love Babe. Babe is like, makes you believe in Swift Run, doesn't it?
One of the only things, that and Wonderland.
Yeah. I mean, I have lots of things that make me believe, but
whatever, yeah, works combined, for you. It is kind of like, okay, you know, but if it weren't, those are like the two that actually start to convince me. Like, the other things are kind of like they can more easily be played off or like chalked up to just being happenstance or whatever you want to say, just friends.
So Babe makes it seem like whoever Taylor was with during the Red era cheated on her. Although I think it was written before this happened. I could be wrong. And also, it doesn't matter that much. Like, it might have been a chronic. If it really happened, it could have been like a chronic issue. So I will say, I actually do not think Diana cheated on Taylor. I think they had other issues. I think they were off and on a lot, especially near the end. And maybe Diana like sought out comfort in other people, and it felt like cheating to Taylor because they were still emotionally involved, even if they weren't really official. And then they would kind of get back together, and they would break up. And because I think we would have gotten a lot more dramatic music out of Taylor. Now I will say like the I Knew You Were Trouble is a very dramatic song when performed live, and Babe was definitely, Taylor was making a point with that. But other than that, I mean, all the interviews for Style, when people ask her about it, she's always like, you know, sometimes people are both make mistakes in relationships.
Right.
So I don't know. I just think you have Should Have Said No and Better Than Revenge. Of course, I think Taylor has gotten a bit more subtle. But I mean, even on Folklore, she says you've got robbers to the east and clowns to the west with a capital W to call out Kanye West. She's still getting digs in. And she's fucking putting Scooter Braun and his wife, like, for cheating on his wife on blast. Yeah, so she's fucking dragging Scooter on Mad Woman still. And as she should.
Right.
I'm glad she does. But
she's not shy to just, like, put it out there.
I mean, she's saying the Master of Spin has a couple side flings. And she's basically saying, you're cheating on your wife. And she's
there's a listed affairs, too. Just straight up saying, you cheated on someone with me.
Exactly. Or so. I actually take illicit affairs to be about, like, Carly sort of cheating on her agreement with the Kushners. Not so much actually cheating romantically on Josh.
Right.
That's just me. But, I mean, but Taylor will call cheating out when she wants to. And, I mean, I do think Babe is pretty explicit in that. But that's the only song. And also, Babe is like, how could you do this? It's not just like, fuck you, you cheater, so much. I don't know. Maybe I'm just making excuses. I just don't think Diana cheated. Not the way other songs frame other cheaters. She's still doing to this day, like, putting people on blast. Like, maybe I'm stupid.
I don't know. It's too hard to say. And I guess it's not really that important whether it was official cheating or not at the end of the day.
Yeah. So, and actually, I think the issue is Taylor wouldn't have cared if it were quote unquote official or not. If she's hurt, she's hurt.
Right.
So, I think basically, like, to sum it up, Naya and Diana definitely kissed in public once, which is fun and funny and maybe means they had some kind of attraction to each other. They were really, really close. Diana took beautiful pictures of Naya. Naya wrote really sweetly about Diana in her book. They were always sort of, not always, but they traveled together a lot. Naya was around Taylor a good bit, and
Naya outed herself
and is sort of has, you know, all sorts of kind of queer rumors, you know, and maybe some connection with Demi Lovato or not, like, who is out as queer as well. And, you know, so I think there's a good little pile of evidence to say, hey, Rivergrund might've been a thing. And if it was, it could have interfered with Swiftgrund, I think, is kind of all I'm saying. And if Diana were pissed at Taylor and wanted her to see her hook up with Naya on Glee that night, maybe that's how she would have gone about it. I don't really think that's what happens. I think it was more of a joke gone wrong or a misunderstanding or someone like Leah or Ryan being nefarious. I've said nefarious like 40 times this episode.
It's okay. Yeah.
I kind of think it was probably a misunderstanding.
I agree.
So the last thing about the Inside Source at Glee tweet is that it happened on February 14th, 2013. And in the Man music video, when Taylor is dressed up, you know, in drag as the man, she's throwing dollars on like a dancer or a stripper of some type. And they show the dollar on the girl's stomach and there's like a serial number on the dollar. And it literally prints out the date 02/14/13. And with Taylor, there are no mistakes. And for some reason, she seems to be referencing that date. And since the song is all about her lamenting how her life would be different if she were a man, maybe she's saying, I don't exactly know what she's saying. I think she might be saying, if I were a man, I could have left that tweet up and laughed with my girlfriend about the joke she played on me or whatever. If I were a man,
I wouldn't have had to worry about that at all.
I wouldn't have had to worry about that at all. I think maybe she's saying like something about like the network maybe owning Diana, like Diana being sort of bound to the network by money. And maybe, you know, Taylor's sort of suggesting that if she were a man, it wouldn't be like that. I don't know. Or, of course, and I said the dollar's on a dancer. Of course, Diana was a dancer. That's how she got her start in Hollywood. I don't know what Taylor's telling us, but she is saying something about that day. She does not make mistakes. If she had not wanted a date, she would not have had that date. I mean, it would have been a different fucking number.
And I mean, who knows? Maybe it's nothing to do with that tweet and it's something else that happened that day, but.
Oh my God. Well, don't even, ugh, now my mind's racing.
It's another can of worms.
It is. So anyway, the next rumor we're going to talk about is the proposal rumors.
Yes. I don't believe it. That's my stance. But
I think I don't believe it or disbelieve it. I've just studied them.
Right. Yeah, that's true. I don't like actually believe any of these rumors that we're talking about tonight, like 100%, obviously. But this one's the one I probably believe in the least. Well, no, Colstron's probably the least, but I've always thought, whenever I read the Master Post or whatever, like I've always thought that this was not true. Like, so,
for those of you that don't know, the Swiftground Master Post on KaylaEvidence.com references this idea that Diana proposed to Taylor as possibly kind of a last-ditch effort to save their relationship, maybe. And I believe this is written, correct me if I'm wrong, by Kaylor Nation.
Kaylor Evidence.
But the Tumblr blog they go under is Kaylor Nation, now Gaylor Nation. Aaron, I believe.
Is that the same person?
Yeah. What it says is, as previously mentioned, one of my sources knows people associated with the Glee cast. So before we get into songs, I want to preface that I have received word from that source and another reliable source that Diana proposed to Taylor in early 2013, most likely as a last-ditch effort. Taylor had to be realistic about it, so she obviously couldn't say yes. That's where the rumor comes from. It's basically from that. Like, this random girl with a Tumblr, you know, kind of a big Gaylor blog said that she had a source that said that.
She's a big hit blog. She was even like was interviewed by people and stuff. Like, she was the main person back then, I think. I could be wrong. But
yeah, I think Vulture or Vice interviewed her, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I've always I don't know, because to me, that's a really strange thing to report on. Like, if somebody was close enough to the Glee cast and wanted to tell a Tumblr blogger about it, that, yeah, Diana Agron proposed marriage to Taylor Swift, then wouldn't you know all sorts of other crazy shit too? Like, that seems to be sort of a really private top secret thing that shouldn't have really gotten out unless everything was getting out, right?
I don't know.
To me, it's weird. But also, it's a weird thing to make up.
So we also don't know that they didn't confirm other things to this person, but they were just things that we already knew it about, but she didn't need to include it.
I believe in 2015, something that they call the shookening, or that this blogger came out and confirmed Swiftgron with sources, supposedly.
Kaylor Evidence?
Gaylor Nation.
Okay.
And yeah, I think that's where a lot of the Master Post comes from. And but essentially what happened is 2015, this person came out and was like, yes, Swiftgron was real. I think it's part of an effort to prove Kaylor, but
probably
she got in touch with somebody who was in, it was probably just Kevin McHale. Let's be honest.
Honestly, it wouldn't surprise me.
but that confirms Swiftgron. And the big sort of, I mean, the juiciest thing to come out of it to me is this rumor of a proposal. So I've always thought it's kind of a weird rumor. Like, why would they know that and only that? Of course, maybe they know more, but it's not included on the master post.
Well, it's possible that either one, the only thing that they really confirmed was, yes, they had a relationship, and yes, she proposed to her, but like, they didn't give a whole lot of crazy detail about every little thing that had happened in the relationship. Two, it could have been just like, they didn't say anything before, but then when this happened, they were like, ooh, this is really juicy, let me go share that with someone. Or three, they could have told her more things, but that's the only one that was like relevant enough to actually put on the master post without it being kind of like weird. I don't know if that makes sense, but like,
yeah. Well, so there is an anti, I don't know if they're anti or if they're just anti TTB or whatever blog that actually got a hold of my blog post, because they were, if they're called, I mean, if they're homophobic or antis, I don't know. I haven't talked to this person, like whatever, but they go by the Taylor Files. And they don't seem to like TTB, but they did get a hold of my post. And so they're saying TTB is like talking to some of her followers about the proposal rumors. And this person kind of jumps onto it and says, I was around when the quote unquote Diana and Taylor were engaged sort of announcement went down. Aaron, Kaylor Nation, was the one who revealed it. It was in the beginning of Kaylor when she and Taven is fake. We're running the Kaylor game here on Tumblr. And it was a fervent but smaller group. TTB was no one. If she was here, she was lurking or in the background. I forget why Kaylor Nation decided to spill the tea, but that's exactly how she presented it. As if she had been holding back this secret intel for a while, but finally got the go-ahead to reveal it. And when she revealed it, she explained how now some lyrics made sense now. Essentially the I want you for worse or for better from How You Get the Girl, which was supposedly about Diana. She says she had sources at Glee that told her this. At the time, she sounded pretty legit as an anonymous source on Tumblr could be. You take it with a grain of salt. You believe some, and some you suspend disbelief. But then later, you find out that at the time of her revelation, she was a teenager living in North Dakota and couldn't possibly have had inside sources on Glee. And also later found out that all her quote-unquote sources were other Tumblr bloggers claiming to know things. And then they linked my post, and where I basically approached it with a very skeptical view and said, here's the rumor. That's kind of weird rumor.
Well, the thing is, before you go into this nasty heterosexual topics, just because she's from North Dakota, I mean, obviously someone who lives in LA or New York City, you're going to be like, oh, maybe they do actually know people personally who work like on Glee or something. But like, just because she's from North Dakota doesn't necessarily mean she couldn't have a reliable source. I mean, I don't believe it when people say, oh, my source, like, because I mean, I don't know if I can trust your judgment, you know, like whoever that person is. But if she's the main blogger at the time, who's like kind of the one that people are going to, or like where you would go if you're trying to search for someone to like spill tea to, I don't think her location really matters if the person is legitimate, because they could just be looking for whoever is like the biggest blog at the time. Like, though, it's probably not someone she knows personally. And I mean, I don't know the second part about it being other Tumblrs who tell her that. I mean, that I have no idea, and they don't really explain that well enough for it to make sense, in my opinion.
I agree, because I'm in Alabama, and Sean and another source, and then sort of another contributor, they've all found me on the internet. I don't know any of these people in real life, and they've all proven themselves in one way or another to me. Like, so yeah, I mean, it doesn't really, I don't think age really matters that much either, particularly a teenager. Okay, so she's 18, 19. Like, that's an adult. You can be a gossip blogger. Like, it doesn't matter. So I don't know. I was not around in the fandom for that, but you know, that's a good point. It doesn't really matter where she is. We're all on the internet. You can get a source via the internet and get everything proven and everything taken care of.
Right.
You know, and with the right pictures and like getting on voice chat and stuff.
Yeah. And I mean, it's hard to trust someone else's judgment. That's why I don't really take anything at face value. If someone says, oh, my source, or like, you know, I have confirmation of this, I'm like, okay. I mean, unless I trust you, like we know each other, like you, when you tell me, like, I'm going to believe it usually because I know what you've been told and like how much it checks out. But if it's like a random person just saying, oh, my source told me this, like that could mean anything. But yeah, I don't think that it really matters if she lives in North Dakota, because if they're just looking for someone to tell this to and they actually did prove themselves to her, we would never know unless she came out and...
I mean, for this, it might not be... It might just be somebody who worked tech on the Glee set and was quiet and listened a lot.
Like, right, exactly.
It's not like it's like Diana's in her DMs telling her.
Right.
It could, you know, and maybe they were just sort of interested in SwiftCround and heard some stuff. And there, I mean, literally everybody who's come to me that is a quote unquote source just enjoys the vibe of the podcast or the blog and wants to contribute their information.
Right.
And help build the community basically with information. So yeah, it could be legit. So that's a good point. Thanks for pointing that out. Like, I wasn't even kind of going to get into that, but, and also of course this anti-blog, I don't know if they like think Taylor's straight or they just think we're all nuts or what, but who knows what they think. And like, I of course wouldn't trust everything they say either. Right.
Right.
But that was
whatever your stance is, you're going to say things that approve that and go along with it. And like, maybe usually they're really biased one way or another. So it's hard to believe anything that anyone says 100% unless they're straight up from the get-go. Like, listen, this is what I know and I could be wrong or I could be right. And I only know as much as I'm sharing with you, you know, that's like,
I mean, I feel like that's what we do. Like, I mean, I definitely am just like, I don't know guys, but here's my take, but it's just a take. And then when I do know things for sure, I will be like, this is a fact, you know?
Right.
And of course there's very few, like, I don't even have tea to spill because I don't want to out anyone or spread any rumors, not even spread rumors. That's the funny thing about all this gossip game is, to me, it's all fun and games to speculate and talk about Taylor's lyrics and here's what it can mean. And, you know, talk about Diana's Instagram posts that are public and here's what it can mean. And we're just leaning into cottagecore and like, but the second you have someone coming to you and telling you personal things about somebody's private life, to me, it's immoral to fucking blog that or put it on the podcast.
Right. So,
If I ever get those tips or if I have those tips, I'm not sharing them. But like the stuff about, you know, just basically the stuff from Sean, of course, a lot of it has to be held back to protect her identity. And then stuff from other people, like it makes its way out. And I will be like, I think I've said really forcefully things like celebs don't, I know for a fact that celebs don't have a choice when it comes to bearding. And we should be sympathetic. We should not complain. Like if Diana gets a new boyfriend after Winston, I've been really clear, like, either it's real because she's bi or fluid or pan, or she's being forced to beard. And either way, we should be supportive. Like I've said, this is a fact that celebs are forced to beard, like whatever. Other than that, I'm almost always like, hey, this is speculation. So a lot of bloggers don't do that for some reason.
That's exactly what I mean. Yeah.
I don't know why.
So it's always hard. That's why I always am skeptical when people word things like that. When they say things like, this is what happened and this is what, I'm always like, okay, but you could be wrong and you could be biased. So I'm not going to take your word for it. So I much prefer when someone has that approach of like, hey, I don't know for sure. This is what I know. This is how I know it, you know, whatever they can say. And they try to explain to you, like, this is just, you know, what I've gathered or my theory from hearing enough different things. That's sits a lot better with me than people being like, this is what happened. Cause I'm like, you don't know that. Or if you do, I don't know how you know that. So how can I trust you?
Exactly. And I mean, so what I've gathered on the proposal thing is, besides that thing from Gaylor Nation, but basically saying, yes, my source told me that there was a proposal, I think it might be in character for Diana to propose to Taylor. So you have a couple different instances of her like doing these grand romantic gestures, possibly. It seems like she got in. Of course, you know me, I go back and I feel like I shouldn't even have to say this. I go back and forth on everything. And I mean, her relationship with Alex Pettifer in like 2010 definitely seems like a very classic promance. And yeah, because they were in the movie together and I think she was with Leah during this time anyway. And like they broke up like the day the movie, like the weekend the movie came out. And it's just like, yeah, okay. Like, but I will say he did get lamb tattooed on his finger for her. And
I'm actually sure it was for her.
Well, it was like while he was dating her and she was known as Lamb. Like that's her nickname.
True, true, true.
One of her thousands of different names.
Right. Lamb.
Her Twitter handle was A Little Lamb, but it did appear that they were engaged. She had like a diamond band on her ring finger during an interview once. And like the interviewer might have asked her about it and she was like coy about it. Like, oh, you know. I mean, they might have done, she may have worn the ring just to make people think they were engaged, but maybe, whatever, maybe she rushed into an engagement with him.
Right.
Yeah, a source tells People that Aegron 24 and Pettifer 20 are engaged. They're very happy about it, adds the source.
He was only 20?
Yeah.
Ew.
Diana's so a cradle robber.
I mean, 20 and 24 is not that bad, but it just seems weird. Like, I don't know. I can't picture it them being that young.
Yeah, I mean,
Zayna's older, like so much older than me, that I always think of her as like being so much older. I don't know. It's weird. I don't know how to explain it, but just being like, oh, she was dating a 20-year-old.
I mean, that's another reason. I mean, at 24, of course, I'm not into guys, but like men are obviously, to me, mature a bit slower than women.
A lot.
And I could not imagine putting up with a 20-year-old guy at 24. I don't think I could. A 20-year-old girl at 24.
Right, exactly. I agree.
But it basically says their reps have no comment, and the couple, who are co-stars in the teen-oriented sci-fi thriller I Am Number 4 in theaters February 18th, remain coy about their romance. When Aegron showed up at the I Am Number 4 press day wearing a thin diamond band on her left ring finger, she told People that her love life is, quote-unquote, something I never like speaking about. Sorry, Diana. Sorry for speaking about your love life all the time. But also shared with reporters that Pettifer was great to work with because he was so enthusiastic and so determined to give everything he had to this character. She added, he wasn't a diva, so that was good. And then Alex sidestepped questions about their relationship, but told People that Aegron is a lovely girl. I was very fortunate to work with her. She's amazing, and I am number 4. With both playing coy, it remains to be seen if there will be another star-studded wedding to look forward to. Oh, yeah, right. So whatever, take that for what it's worth. They appeared to be engaged or teasing an engagement for PR, but and then also I am definitely 100% of the belief that Shirtgate was a grand romantic gesture to win Leah's hand back after a fight. Then we need to do a Shirtgate episode, but that's just what I believe really strongly. And then Winston, she started dating, I think officially in July 2015, and she married him in October 2016, and they got engaged in January of 2016. So that's all very fast. So would Diana maybe rush into some kind of marriage or do some kind of grand romantic gesture to win back the girl? Maybe. The second thing about all this is there seems to be some wedding imagery coming out of Taylor's music post-Diana. So and How You Get the Girl, as we said, it says, I want you for worse, for better. And of course, when people get married, one of the traditional marriage vows is for better or for worse. Maybe if you're taking the song very, very literally, it sounds like somebody showed up to Taylor's door and said, I want to marry you. And then also the famous Clean imagery on tour. There's a video that plays in the background when Taylor sings Clean on the 1989 tour. And there's all these, it's very sort of visual metaphors where you have water like coming down Taylor's face or coming down her, the back of her hair. And it looks like a wedding veil. And there's also this famous shot where Taylor has flowers sort of coming out of her hair, coming down her hair, and she turns her head to the side, and it looks looks very, very similar to the picture they took together with flower crowns in their hair. And in that shot, Taylor seems to kind of have this sort of bralette or like almost lingerie kind of that's white. It looks very much like bridal kind of lingerie to me. In the Look What You Made Me Do music video, Taylor seems to also be referencing saying no to a proposal, actually really, really clearly. So clearly that like online news articles and stuff ran about this because they think it's about Calvin. She spells out no in the bathtub when she's in the bath with Jules. She spells out no on the floor with a locket, which is supposed to be related to Calvin, although Kaylers say it's thanks to the love lockdown thing, which was like this thing between her and Carly, posts on Instagram that it's a Kaler thing. I don't know. All I know is she uses the locket to spell out no. So people think she said no to getting married to Calvin's proposal.
Which 100%, I do not believe that relationship happened out of all of them. That's like, come on.
Yeah, I think that's a good take. And there's also when she is robbing the bank a bit later in the music video with the cat burglars, or are they pussy bandits? There's a ring box that is open behind her. And also, interestingly, everybody's dressed up like cats, which, come on, the pussy bandit thing. And she also, kind of side note, she has a shirt that says Blind for Love on it, which, is she pansexual, bisexual? Is that what she's telling us? She doesn't fit within that? I don't know. It feels like a clue. So that's some of the other, you know, she's seeming to suggest that somebody has proposed to her. I don't think it was Calvin.
No, I don't think so either.
It's so with the proposal stuff, it's kind of a fandom lore thing. Maybe this source from Glee was legit that told this blogger that that's what happened. And that's just that. That's the truth. But also, I will say also in Babe, like she has the lyric, like you broke the sweetest promise that you ever made or something. And mm-hmm. What's the sweetest? I mean, that's kind of specific. Like, what's the sweetest promise? Maybe it's marriage. So and also everybody says it happened in early 2013. People say like that's what How You Get the Girl is about. And I will say we did look, and in January in LA, and they were both in LA at the end of January, it did rain. So when you have like stand there at the door shaking in the rain, it could be very literal. Maybe somebody showed up and proposed to somebody.
It's funny that she has so many like rain references because it barely rains in LA and that's where she was living.
Well, I mean, I think before Red, all her songs were about Nashville, which it rains a ton there. So like Meet Me in the Pouring Rain. Also, I think most of it's like imagery, right? But
yeah,
it is kind of funny that she's talking about, you know, rain for How You Get the Girl when that seems to be about a relationship that took place in LA and it rains very rarely in LA. But it did in January. And that actually backs up when this blogger said they got engaged. She said the very beginning of 2013. And one more part about that is, so basically rained like the weekend of like the 24th, 25th, 26th, 27th. I think it was sort of rainy. There's a post on it on the blog. If you search weather, you would probably find it. Or maybe just rain. But, of course, a lot would come up in rain because it'd be a lot of lyric analysis. But if you search weather, you should be able to find it. Where I show which weekend is. But on the Who's Sir Meeser blog, there is a post on January 25th, which is right when we think all this was going on, where Diana says, I think we're just going to... Well, she doesn't say it, but she reblogs a post with a quote. I think we're just going to have to be secretly in love with each other and leave it at that. Which sounds like maybe secret proposal? Maybe? Is she referencing their secret engagement? Because here's what I will say. I think if they got engaged, Taylor said yes at first. And then, like, I think she immediately said yes. And then their management broke them up.
Right. I mean, I would agree with that if that did happen.
We don't know.
Right.
Or even always think. But
right.
If it did, that's how I think it went down.
I agree.
I think it's time to talk about your favorite rumor.
Yes.
Which is a little ship. We like to call Klosgron,
which is my handle on Twitter.
Y'all follow Klosgron and at Klosgron on Twitter to follow Kara and get all her hot takes. And there's a little blind item, number 9, that we love to discuss. So before leading up to blind item number 9, I guess we can talk about, or should we just jump in and say the blind item and then talk about the history of
it? Yeah.
Okay, do you want to read?
I think I should do the honors having it as my handle, you know?
I absolutely agree. Okay. Let's jump in.
Blind item number 9, posted by Enti on January 10th, 2019. This closeted married former Glee actress has recently been hooking up with this closeted married illiterate model all of you know.
So, and by the way, it's illiterate, not illiterate.
Yes.
We're not talking about Leah. We're talking about Carly, because illiterate is like alliteration. So Carly.
Yes.
Right. KK. And of course, the closeted married Glee actress.
Mm-hmm.
Or what does it say?
It says the closeted married former Glee actress.
I love that that's closeted married. Now I guess she'd be closeted divorce
Glee actress. Yes. I mean, I think there's been quite a few blind items where Enti has referred to her as the closeted Glee actress or closeted married Glee actress. Like,
yeah.
So that's definitely
There's another one where they were like, she spent all fall filming a movie. And really, she spent the whole thing. She was filming a movie, but really her girlfriend was with her the whole time. So shout out to Molly.
I don't know anything about all of that, but.
Shout out to Molly Howard.
Oh my God. We're just kidding, Molly.
We're just kidding, Molly. We know you've been with Ben for 2 years. Molly, come on the pod. So let's Do you want to just give me your initial first take of, did Diana and Carly hook up?
I do not think so, but I love the idea of it so much because it's so dramatic and messy and crazy and out there that, like, I really hope it did happen just because I would love the chaos of that. But as far as it, like, actually happening, I mean, I don't think so, but it is a really weird thing to make up. But I guess, I don't know, like, I guess anyone could just say that and just say it just to say it. But it also, they do hang out in the same circles. Like, they have a wide circle that they're both very much in. So it wouldn't be the most crazy out there thing ever.
I mean, we'll get into, like, their overlap on our Blonterage episode at some point, because they definitely are in the same circles. I will say, I think we would have gotten a lot different album than, I mean, Lover came out after this, right? And then
I think so, yeah.
Well, it's January 2019, Lover came out in the summer of 2019. So I think we would have gotten a lot different album if Taylor's exes or her girlfriend at the time, like, I don't know, Kaylor, y'all tell me if they're together or not. White Umbrellas, I don't know. if they were broken up, or and Carly is hooking up with Diana, I think we're going to get a lot different album. Like, I don't think Death by a Thousand Cuts and The Archer, I think we would have gotten a metal album by now. If, I mean, Oscron was real.
True. However, there's one you could say, because this is after Kaylor had already broken up, I'm pretty sure.
I think so.
You could either say, I think
they were done summer of 2019 after the Master Size.
Okay. I was going to say, you could say that there's different takes on it. I mean, one, I would say she might not have known. Two, she could have genuinely not cared, although I doubt that. Three, maybe, I don't know.
You're just trying to think of a list.
Yeah, I'm just trying
to think.
Well,
I mean, like, maybe she's moved on.
Right.
I mean, maybe.
Oh,
maybe
I was going to say, number three could be that Kaylor broke up a lot earlier than we think.
Mm-hmm. And like, so she's moved on. She doesn't care so much anymore.
And she's genuinely in a relationship with Joe. And so she's just like, all right, what the fuck ever, you know? I mean.
Or Joe's a beard for
someone else.
Reese Witherspoon.
Okay. Like,
who knows? I don't know. She's blonde. who knows who Taylor's with right now? Beyonce, maybe.
Yeah,
that would be sexy.
It would be.
So, you know, but maybe there's a new girl, the Red Rose, right? Who knows? But to me, I think we would have gotten a metal album if this had happened. However, there is a lot of tomfoolery between Carly and Diana. So I believe in 2016. On February 17th, 2015, Carly walks a runway at the Carolina Herrera fashion show. And, like, whoever wrote the article on Just Jared, which, you know, who cares about them, but is a dark Kaylor shipper, I'm pretty sure. Because they literally say, The title of the article, and there's, like, way more famous people at this show, and there was, like, 30 other models in the show, too, but the title of the article is Diana Agron watches Carly Kloss work the runway at Carolina Herrera.
It's pretty funny.
And they say, walking the runway was Carly Kloss, who kept a smirk on her face while showing off the designs. And there's a picture, of Diana, and she looks... So, like, you can watch this fashion show. Like, I've never watched a fashion show before in my life, but I watched this entire one. It's like 10 or 15 minutes on YouTube.
Yep.
2015 Carolina Herrera fashion show. But look at this picture of Diana, by the way.
She's so pissed.
Diana looks so pissed. And also in the fashion show, like, at the end, like, Diana doesn't really clap. Like, it's so awkward. Like,
she doesn't clap at all.
She doesn't clap, and it, like...
She's a very straight look on her face, like, okay.
And you can't really see close, right? It's far away. But she looks pissed, and, like, they did sort of, like, not a red carpet, but, like, professional photographers were there, like, taking pictures of the celebs that were there. And Diana does not look happy in her pictures. So she actually looks pained. She looks grimacing to me.
Yeah. So
obviously that was not... That's, like, for our enemies to lovers ship that Kloss-Kron is, like, that's when they're enemies for sure, right?
Yes.
Like, if you're writing the fanfic, the Kloss-Kron fanfic, maybe start it at this fashion show. So, Yeah, but whoever wrote that article is a dark Kaler when they're talking about Carly smirking as she walks down the runway. Then a little bit later, like in 2017, Carly seems to maybe have some interaction with Diana and the Blonterage, Diana's friends, on social media. So Carly follows Diana on
Instagram.
And she also follows like Molly and Selby and I think Tracy and all of them. And they all follow her back, and they still do to this day. And then Diana does not follow Carly back. And then a week later, Carly unfollows her. And it just seems very shady. And it just seems very kind of snippy and bitchy. Of course, like, we're just talking about like social media follows, but you know, just from an outsider perspective. So that happens in October 29th, 2017. Then about 6 months later, February 12th, 2018, we get one of the best Closs Grond footage we have, where
the best
they meet and Diana like reaches in to give Carly a hug and she says, "You're gorgeous."
Yep.
Derek Blasberg is there and it looks like he's about to hit the floor.
Yeah, he makes the funniest face. The video that goes around on Twitter is kind of low quality, so you can't tell as much, but the high quality version of it that I've seen, he is very clearly makes a face.
He looks like he's like about to scream and choke.
Like, he's like smirking. He's like, "Oh my God, I can't believe she just said that."
Yeah. To be fair, I can see, like, I don't think a lot of people would do that by mistake, like call your ex's new girlfriend or ex-girlfriend or whatever that she wrote a song called Gorgeous About Gorgeous. Diana would do that by accident, I feel like.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think she did it on purpose.
You really do?
Oh, yeah. Her body language and, like, the look on her face, it's very fake. Like, she's being really, really nice, but, like, it doesn't seem genuine at all.
You know what? I've never thought about...
Like, how are you? Oh, you're gorgeous.
Actually, you're right, because, like, Diana usually smiles a lot bigger. Like, to the point where it's, like, stupid.
It's, like, her energy when you see her with, like, most people, she just seems very sweet and, like, genuine. But with that interaction, it's, like, loudly fake to me. Like, she's being really, like, you know that way where it's, like, you're acting super nice, but you can tell that neither of you means it. Like, that's the vibe that it gives off to me. And Derek's face kind of just, like, goes with that. And the way she says it is to the same tune that she says in the song Gorgeous. Like, it's not like she just says, like, "Oh, you're gorgeous," or like, "You look gorgeous." She doesn't say, "You look gorgeous." She specifically says, "You're gorgeous," and this just like the tune of the song.
I mean, it is psychotic.
Yeah.
It's, they're all sociopaths, right? Like,
No.
Kaler is, I know that.
Kaler, maybe. I definitely don't think Diana or Carly are.
No, I don't think they are either, but I do think that we have to, like, that we're just, like, watching this from afar. It makes us crazy, I know that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that, I think, is the last of their interactions, but there's a lot of, like, weird stuff going on social media. So you randomly have the Blonterage, like, liking Carly's shit all the time, and they're all in fashion and stuff, like, quote unquote, like, of course Carly is in fashion. There's some funny things going on social media with Carly, with Diana's friends liking Carly's stuff and also showing up in her comments. And actually, I think my favorite one is when Carly got married.
Selby says, "Aw."
Selby says, "Aw, heart." Like, but like, not even, you know, like,
yeah,
just like, I mean, so shady.
It could be genuine. It's just funny though, because like, I would never comment on someone's wedding picture and say, "Aw." I mean, I would say, like, "Oh my God, congratulations," or like, you know, something like that, but "Aw."
I just think it's funny. And Molly's liking the post. Selby's saying "Aw" with the little heart emoji. Like, it's just, I don't know. I don't know what to make of it, but
yeah,
you have all these funny interactions, and they are sort of like in these similar circles. So is Closs Grond real?
Confirmed. I mean,
Closs Grond confirmed, I think. That would be the second episode I've named Closs Grond confirmed.
No.
And people did not get that it was a joke the first time.
Oh my God, I know. People.
I do think they're in similar circles. Obviously, they've met a few times. And I will say, you know, we've come a long way from Carly keeping a smirk on her face in 2015 to, I don't know what, Diana calling her gorgeous. Maybe by 2019, when the Blind Item came out, we had come full circle, enemies to lovers.
Hate sex.
or that. But I mean, maybe it's that. Maybe, of course, there was that blind item about Diana working on that film set and being with her girlfriend the whole time. Maybe Carly's the girlfriend.
Oh, shit. Oh, that's funny. Should we mention the fact that there was a Twitter account who I follow who had posted a series of pictures, and it was one, there was only three of them actually, and one of them was the one of Derek in between Carly and Diana, and she said something along the lines of, I just want to know what goes on, like what Derek Blasberg knows, or something along those lines. And he commented and said, a gentleman never kisses and tells.
And then he also says something like, that's why my hair's so big, it's full of secrets.
Yeah, he comments that afterwards.
He's trolling.
He is, absolutely. I mean, that's definitely how he is, so it's funny. But still.
Yeah, that's kind of the last bit as like his comments on that.
Right.
So, and of course, I mean, we actually kind of skipped this bit in the timeline, but we do have Klosgran, I wouldn't call it hanging out, but in the vicinity of each other at the 2014 AMAs.
That's true.
Where Taylor is like, don't sit next to me, you can sit next to Carly. And like, Diana sits next to Carly for a few minutes during a song. And like, Carly's like ignoring her. Like, it's so, I feel like Carly points at one time and it seems like Diana's like, oh, you're talking to me. Oh, you're not talking to me.
Yeah.
Like, it's so embarrassing. I can't watch it.
I know, it's bad.
It's bad. Ugh. Klosgran, man.
Enemies to lovers, excellence.
Yeah, it really is. It's a really good ship. I don't think it happened.
No, I don't either, but I like to pretend it did because I think it'd be so
I like
fun.
To joke about it. I like to tease about it, but it's just so funny. Like, can you imagine the fucking shit show?
It would be amazing. Like, I mean,
and I will say that sort of thing can happen in social circles. You hook up with your ex's ex, like, and it's messy for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I would say that I don't think it happened, but it's not like so insane that it could never happen. Like, I would be, I'd say I'm 75% it didn't happen, 25% it did. But that's me being very generous because I want it to happen because it's so funny.
Well, and you, I mean, look, if Klosgran was in game, your handle would.
Oh my God. I would blow up. I would be like, yes, absolutely.
Let's like really go there for a minute. What would your reaction be if Klosgran was in game? Like, if they came out together and got married and had
I would be completely shocked, but I don't even know, because that would require Carly to disentangle herself from the Kushners. But if that were to happen, I would be all for it. I think it would be so
would be
funny,
thrilled.
So chaotic, so dramatic, so unexpected.
I mean, I would be really impressed and thrilled that they like put their beef behind them and fell in love and just let love win out.
And I would be so excited for the album.
That's, we would get, what do you think, metal?
I don't even know.
I mean, like, experimental, just screaming? Would it just be like 13 tracks of Taylor screaming?
It probably would.
I mean, I would listen to it.
I would listen to it too.
And then what do you think TTB's reaction would be?
She would delete her blog, I think. Or, I mean, it's talking like, how far in the future are we talking?
Let's say next Valentine's Day.
Oh, they come like out February. That's only a couple months away.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm just randomly picking.
Yeah. Okay. So if that happened, I would be like, how did they hide that they were? Well, I mean, I guess it's not that far of a reach. We don't know what they do in their spare time, but I would be having the time of my life. I think it would be the funniest, most hilarious, fun thing ever. I think TTB would probably delete her blog. I really don't know, because her whole blog basically relies on Taylor still being together. So I don't even know what she would do. She would lose.
I mean, I think I would change my blog name to Klosgran Get Married.
Absolutely, as you should.
And it would be an exploration of Taylor's slow sink into madness.
Yes, that too.
And also like celebrating the nuptials of Klosgran.
Yeah, absolutely.
It would be like really fun.
It'd be so fun.
I think it would be a mixed bag.
Yeah. It would be a great time.
That's the chaos the Swiftgron fandom honestly deserves.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think that a lot of Kalers would be having like complete emotional breakdowns, but I would be having the time of my fucking life.
We would be living our best
absolutely
lives.
Like popping big bottles.
I cannot think of something better than Klosgran Ingram.
I would honestly almost rather that than the other alternatives, because I think it would be so fun.
It would be so
it would be
fun.
Ridiculous.
Oh my God. That's so weird. I cannot picture Diana with somebody as tall as
I don't think that they would ever date. But, you know.
I don't either. We're like really going there. We're going there, though.
It would just be hilarious. Like, I can't even imagine how funny it would be.
Yeah. So, of all the three rumors we discussed, yes. Klossgron, the proposal, and Rivergron / Diana sort of cheating on Taylor with Naya, mm-hmm. which do you think is the most likely to least likely? Rank them for
me. Oh, easily the most likely is Rivergron hooking up. The next one would be the proposal, and the last one would be Klossgron.
Damn it, that's how I feel, yeah. too.
Because the thing is with Klossgron is there's literally no evidence there that they have anything other than a cordial but secretly don't like each other relationship, except for the blind item, which could have, who God only knows where it came from or who sent that shit in, or if it's legit or not, or if it's even based on anything at all, or if it's completely made up, who knows. There's only one thing that even sort of supports the idea that anything happened between them at all.
I'm with you. I mean, the blinds I think are 90% bullshit, maybe more. They're highly entertaining.
Oh, absolutely.
If there's any relating to Diana or Taylor or Carly or anyone, I'll post them. Unless they're like really kind of,
yeah,
you know, to say, as we love the phrase, harmful rumors.
Right. I think with blinds, if it's something that's being said enough, it starts to be like, okay, maybe there's some basis to this, but like random ass stuff like this, it's like, okay, maybe not. Or maybe it is true. I mean, who would ever know? We would never be able to confirm.
Well, with the fun thing about blind items is that he's good about revealing them before the news goes public.
Mm-hmm.
And he's gotten some big things right.
Right. I mean, I did read the article last night that we sent, and he does claim that he does like vet things unless they're like really minor. I think then he won't. But like anything that's like, I mean, not that this would be considered anything major, but he says he does like at least make sure that like big things are somewhat legit. Like anything.
You should DM him on Twitter and be like, see my handle? You know. Tell me about blind item number 9.
Maybe I will. He won't answer, but maybe I will.
You should do
it. I will. But yeah, so he does do some sort of vetting process. Like, it's not just like, you know, 100% bullshit. But I mean, most of it probably still is.
Inti, come on the pod.
Please do. He has his own podcast.
Yeah, but... you know, he has his own. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. He has his own podcast that you have to pay for, mm-hmm. which I think I might actually do that since I have a little bit of Patreon money. I might invest in some things like an IMDb Pro account or that help me kind of research or
I think it'd be fun. Yeah.
Or Inti's podcast, stuff like that, just to listen in. But I'm with you. I think the most likely thing is the Rivergron rumors, although I don't think. I mean, I think Rivergron happened. I don't know if it interfered with Swiftgron.
Right. I mean, I definitely think that I would not at all be surprised if they hooked up at all. Like, I could easily believe that.
100%. Yeah. I kind of think they did.
I kind of think they did, too.
And then the proposal, it's a little out there, but it does kind of seem in character for Diana. That's kind of what does it for me. I can see her just being, like, fucking it up and then just being like, well, will you marry me? Like, she's so romantic, you know?
Yeah.
Although, is that romantic? I don't know. Or is it just stupid?
I don't know. Both.
I don't either. I've never had a healthy relationship in my life. So.
Me either.
and then the Klossgron stuff is just complete clownery to me.
Yeah.
But I love it.
Yeah.
But the thing I want to be true the most is Klossgron.
Honestly, same.
So, yeah, that's just like three random rumors about Swiftgron and then Klossgron that are always sort of burning a hole in the back of my head. And I think, Kara, probably your head too a bit.
Yep.
And yeah, I mean, that's just our take on them. Hope y'all enjoyed. If y'all do like kind of these more specific, just sort of deep dive into different fandom headcanons or rumors or gossip about them, let me know if you want like specific episodes on any specific moments. We'll talk about it. We'll get into it. We'll research it.
Yeah.
If you're enjoying this content and you want more of it, you can throw me just a single dollar a month on Patreon at Clownery and Wonderland on Patreon. And that link's also in my Twitter bio, at ClowneryPod on Twitter. And you can get bonus episodes, and you can also access special flares if you're in the Discord. And I actually think we've had to lock the Discord down for sort of security purposes. That sounds a little bit dramatic, but basically we just don't want anyone getting doxxed or any of that. And there's a bit of I don't even know what to say.
Staying safe, I guess.
We're just trying to make sure everybody stays safe. Y'all know as Gaylers, there's the risk of doxing. So, but I will say, if you subscribe to the Patreon, we can definitely get you access to the Discord, and you can message me on Patreon and ask for access through there. And you can get special flares as well if you're a Patreon subscriber.
A lot of fun stuff goes down in the Discord.
I think the funniest stuff we've done is behind the Patreon wall, and then the most fun we have is on Discord. So. And of course, on Tumblr, you can follow me at Swickron Get Married on Tumblr. And then Kara is at Klossgron on Twitter.
Yes.
If you want to give her a follow, especially in honor of this episode. And I think we're going to leave it there. Everybody stay safe in 2020 and Swickron Get Married in 2022. Let's manifest it. Bye.